Crime coverage in the news tends to focus on the criminal, the nature of the crime, the handing out of the punishment, and so forth. But in nearly every crime, there's a victim who might need some help putting life back together. Many states now provide monetary compensation for the victims of crimes. California got there early. The California Victims Compensation Program has changed with time, including a few tweaks added to the program last fall. Next week is National Crime Victims' Rights Week. Here today, we talk to Julie Nauman, who's the CalVCP, that's the California Victims Compensation Program Executive Officer. Julie, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, and thank you. I'm delighted to be with you this morning.
Pleasure to have you. Would you give us some history of the CalVCP? It's been around a while now.
It has been around a while, and I'm proud to say that we have just commemorated our 50th year of service to victims. California established the Victim Compensation Program back in 1965, and I'm very proud of that because we were the very first state in the nation to establish a victim compensation program. Since that time, we now have victim compensation programs in every state. So your listeners in Oregon, while I'll be talking about the California program today, should be aware that there is a victim compensation program in their state as well. So many of the things that we'll be talking about today also apply to citizens living in the state of Oregon.
Since California was first on the scene, have a lot of states modeled their program after the California VCP?
Well, the truth is they have. And again, I'm very proud of that. California is recognized as the leader in the nation in the establishment and the expansion of the Victim Compensation Program. By way of background, just let me explain that this is a program that is supported by the Federal Department of Justice, and each state has a special relationship with the Federal Department of Justice. They provide some of the funding for our programs, and then each state also provides a portion of the funding. And what's very interesting, too, about this program is that it is not supported by general taxpayers, either at the federal level or at the state levels. In fact, the funding for this program comes from the fines and penalties that offenders pay when they are sentenced. And that helps us to be able to help victims of crime with the expenses that they incur as a result of being an innocent victim.
Which makes me wonder, then, if the budget is somewhat limited because you got people heading off to jail, they probably were not in great circumstances to begin with and therefore not in a position to pay much in fines.
Well, that is always an issue, but the benefit of this program is that we do have fairly stable funding, and the federal government is generous to all the states in the funding, and we find that we actually are able to meet the needs of the victims throughout California. And again, even if a particular offender is not able to pay, others are, and those dollars all go into our state restitution fund and are available to help any victim of crime, regardless of whether their particular offender was convicted or able to pay the fines and penalties. So again, that the ability to help all victims is really what makes this program so important and so beneficial.
Julie, is there a cutoff? I mean, no compensation for victims of misdemeanors, for example, or anything like that?
The program is focused on victims of violent crime. So we're not talking about property damage or those kinds of things. We're talking about the kinds of crimes that come to mind when you think of violence. We're talking about domestic violence. We're talking about sexual assault, homicide, cyberbullying. These are crimes where the victim is traumatized and either has a severe emotional impact or a physical impact as a result of the crime. So when we step in to help, we're looking to help that victim to heal from the trauma that they have experienced. And a way to do that, very importantly, is to help them get the help that they need as soon as possible. We find that most victims of crime benefit tremendously from mental health counseling. And we will pay for those mental health counseling sessions so that the individual can begin to deal with the issues, deal with the aftermath, and deal with the recovery. So we don't wait for the offender to be convicted. We don't wait for the offender to pay fines and penalties. We are there as soon as possible. And the way this works is the victim can apply directly to our program. Many victims actually go through the district attorney's office, and there's a group called the Victim Witness Assistance Program in the district attorney's offices. So, for instance, in Del Norte County, your district attorney, Dale Trigg, has a staff of people who are able to talk with victims and to determine what their needs are. And they can help them then fill out the application and get that to us. The approval process is relatively quick, and we just document that the person is in need, and we document that there was, in fact, a violent crime. And once that application has been approved, we then are in a position to pay for things like mental health counseling that we talked about. We also can pay for medical expenses. And for situations such as domestic violence, we can even help relocate that individual. And we know that it's really important for a domestic violence victim to be able to get out of the environment that they are in.
Julie Nauman's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She is the executive officer at the California Victims Compensation Program, commonly called CalVCP. We're talking about how victim compensation programs work. They are present in all 50 states. You can join us with questions and comments at 800-838-3760 over the phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. How comprehensive the coverage, Julie? I'm curious to know, particularly when we're talking about mental health counseling, how much money gets paid out for each individual case.
Well, the overall limit on the program has just been increased from $63,000 to $70,000 per individual crime that occurs. For mental health, the individual can receive up to 45 mental health counseling sessions. So that's what we have found, and we do a lot of research to determine what victims need and what is the most helpful method of providing the therapy that they need. And we have found that the range of 40 to 45 sessions is a good number. That gives the individual ample opportunity to discuss their situation and to receive the help that a therapist can provide.
Julia, how is the money allocated? Is it case by case, county by county? How does the pot divide it up?
Well, as we talked about a little bit ago, there is a restitution fund that is, technical terms are, it is continuously appropriated. So it is available for us to spend as the needs arise. And in a typical fiscal year, we will expend somewhere around $60 million to provide assistance to victims. So if a victim comes to us, we have the funds to be able to help them. And one of the reasons why I was so excited to be able to come on your show today was because we want to make sure that people know about this program and know that it's available for them. We want to see those applications come in.
You mentioned benefit changes last fall in the sense of the ceiling raised from $63,000. You said per crime, not per victim, right?
Well, per victim, per crime. Okay. We sometimes find that we have victims who come back to the program that are re-victimized. So per application, the limit is $70,000. And quite frankly, that money goes a long way. And it is we have found that it is an appropriate limit because it allows us to provide services to anyone who is eligible, and we find that it is an adequate amount to meet the needs of the victims that that we serve. I wanted to highlight one other change from legislation that is actually going through right now that is really focused on the ability for victims to relocate. And again, we talked about domestic violence victims having a special need to relocate. The limit on that assistance has been $2,000 for a number of years. And we have found in many areas of the state that that's just not sufficient to enable a victim to relocate to a safer place to live. So that limit is being proposed to be increased to $4,500, and we're very excited about the possibility of expanding our program in that way.
Is that it, the stuff that's contained in Assembly Bill 1140?
That's actually in proposed Assembly Bill 2160 that is currently going through the process.
Okay.
Where there was an important change, however, in Assembly Bill 1140 that you just mentioned that went through last fall and became effective January 1. And what that bill did in a very important section is address the issue of domestic violence cases and sexual assault cases where the individual victim, man or woman, is understandably very traumatized during the situation and may not be ready to file a police report or to ask that the perpetrator be arrested. We don't want that to stand in the way of a victim getting help through this program. So regardless of whether a police report is filed immediately or is never filed because the individual is fearful, fears retaliation, is ashamed, whatever, we don't want that to stand in the way of victims of sexual assault and domestic violence from getting the help that they need. And we know that in Del Norte County, there is a fairly high rate of domestic violence crimes. And we'd like to see more applications for our help come to us so that we can provide assistance to those victims of your county.
I know the connection here that you're talking about comes from our discussions with, about our reporting, actually, from Emily Curitan, our producer, about the domestic violence in Del Norte County. One of the things she was aware of was that there seemed to be some wide swings in victim compensation. I wonder if that's just a thing that happens in small counties because a couple of crimes can really make the incidence of claims go up and then it'll go down in a successive year or something.
Well, I just want to emphasize the money is there. We just need to get the applications in. And I do have some numbers that last calendar year, 2015, we received 26 applications from Del Norte County. Mm-hmm. And 85 of those were approved and a total of $12,007 was paid. And we have seen a kind of a decline in the number of claims coming from the county. And again, that's that gives me reason to want to talk more about the program with you and really emphasize to all the listeners, regardless of where they live, in Northern California or in Oregon, please take advantage of this program. It is here to help, and the help that it provides is so important in helping a victim rebuild their lives after something tragic like this happens.
The program, again, is the California Victims Compensation Program, CalVCP, where Julie Nauman is the executive officer. We'll take a couple more minutes with her, and you can join us on the exchange with questions and comments. 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. That's really interesting, though, the changes you mentioned in 1140, because I know we've talked a fair amount here on the program about the issues with reporting of sexual assault and domestic violence, where sometimes the victim will prefer not to file at the moment.
Absolutely.
And we've talked about the We Have Options or You Have Options program in the city of Ashland, for example. But what you're saying now is in California, compensation can be paid out without the crime being reported.
Absolutely. And, you know, we work with law enforcement and we can talk with them. We can understand that the situation existed. But you're referring to an article that appeared in the aftermath in mid-March that was titled She Had So Much to Live For at the Moment. And, you know, reading that article, it captures so much of what we're talking about here, the shame, the fear, wanting to hide that the abuse exists, and a quote from the victim saying, it just kind of scared of, like, the retaliation. But when he gets out, he's going to be really mad. You know, those are the realities of domestic violence. Those are the realities of trauma. And we try very hard in our program to stay current on victimization and understand from victims themselves and from service providers what is it that is going on with the victim and what is it that they need. And that was the reason why we came forward with AB 1140. We called it our Statute Modernization Initiative because we always want to be sure that our program is up to speed, is current, is reflecting what our victims need and the types of crimes that we are now becoming more aware of that perhaps we didn't fully understand the breadth and depth of years ago. An example of that is human trafficking. We're hearing a lot more these days about human trafficking and understanding the various types of human trafficking, whether it's labor, whether it's sex trade. These are issues that we really didn't understand that well a number of years ago, and so we have changed our statute to call that crime out and to make sure that it's very clear that a victim of human trafficking can access this program. I mentioned cyberbullying a few moments ago. Again, with the changes in our society and our cultural practices of utilizing the internet for all kinds of communication, unfortunately, it is sometimes misused. And cyberbullying and exchange of pornography are examples of the kinds of things that can occur with the use of the internet. And so we have, again, made sure that our program has been expanded to allow us to help victims of pornography or victims of cyberbullying also get the help that they need. Because you can imagine how helpless and how threatened and violated one must feel when their name or their picture is all over the internet, and they're being bullied and intimidated by that. That is psychological trauma, and that certainly needs to stop, but the victim certainly needs to be helped.
A lot of changes to stay on top of, for sure. Julie, before we go, I just want to wrap my head around the budget picture and what the total budget for victims' compensation is in California and what the trend has been in that.
The budget has been relatively stable. Over the years, as again I said, we enjoyed the support of the federal government. The program runs in, has funding in excess of $100 million, and we pay out to victims $50, $60, $70, sometimes $80 or $90 million a year. So it is a very robust program. It's a healthy program, and it's a program just waiting to help people who need our help.
All right. Julie Nauman is the executive officer at CalVCP, the California Victims Compensation Program. Crime Victims Rights Week is next week. A lot of observations going on there. Julie, thanks so much for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
All right. Take care.